German Chancellor Angela Merkel took a more neutral position. She calls China a rival on many issues, but at the same time, a key partner for the alliance. The German leader also hailed a new era with President Biden, who has made a clear commitment to NATO, unlike his predecessor Donald Trump.
In the meantime, the Ukrainian president has demanded specifics on whether his country can join NATO. He hopes that Joe Biden will declare his support. Both leaders are scheduled to meet next month, with discussions on Ukraine's membership expected to be on the agenda. Mr. Biden has said that Kiev's position in Russia will be considered when discussing NATO affairs. And Russia strongly opposes Ukraine joining the alliance, calling it unacceptable.
Watching all this from Washington is Simon Marks, and he joins us now live. Simon, through an editorial in the Global Times today, China accuses the U.S. of making use of NATO for its anti-China campaign. Would you say that's exactly what Joe Biden has achieved so far?
It's very hard to deny that. I mean, Joe Biden was pretty unequivocal about that in his press conference in Brussels after his meetings ended. He cited the fact that it wasn't just the G7 this past weekend that had included China, singled it out by name in the communique, but also the fact that NATO was doing the same thing in Brussels over the last few hours. A contrast, he insisted, between these meetings and their predecessors. And the president at that press conference made it absolutely apparent that he continues to believe that liberal democracies and that America's partners in the NATO alliance, along with the European Union and the G7, need to be making it very clear to President Xi Jinping in China that they are aware of China's military buildup, concerned about it, and also aware of the need to make sure that democracies all over the world, as President Biden put it today, prove that they are sufficiently resilient to solve the problems of their citizens, and to send a message to Xi Jinping and to Vladimir Putin that you mustn't count liberal democracies out, and that they are going to put up a fight in what President Biden continues to characterize as a struggle against autocracies. And in that struggle, he was clearly delighted to have received some significant support at NATO headquarters, although, as you've said, not all the leaders attending those meetings with President Biden over the last few days have necessarily gone as far in criticizing China as the United States has wanted them to go.
And Simon, ever the diplomat, Mr. Biden seems to be softening the anti-Russia rhetoric, calling Vladimir Putin a worthy adversary. What can we read into Biden's approach here ahead of Wednesday's critical meeting between the two leaders?
Well, he's definitely trying to keep his powder dry. He was asked numerous questions by American reporters at that press conference about his Wednesday meeting in Geneva with the Russian president, Vladimir Putin. And he insisted that he wasn't going to preview the details of what he planned to say. He says time and again, I'll talk to you about it when it's over. But it was notable that today he called Vladimir Putin a worthy adversary, even while standing by his earlier assessment that the Russian leader is a killer. He said that he hoped that that assessment wasn't going to overshadow or colour the meeting that he's going to be having with the Russian leader, and once again insisted that he's looking for a stable, predictable relationship with Moscow, that he wants to work with the Russians where it's possible to cooperate, but will not hesitate to hit back at any kind of adversarial behaviour that Vladimir Putin continues to exhibit on the world stage. So the stage is set for a combative meeting, and I think all eyes will be on President Biden's news conference after it's over to get a sense of precisely how it's gone.
Right. And of course, we know you'll be watching that highly anticipated meeting for us. So Simon, thank you very much. That was Simon Marks in Washington, D.C.